It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
The man accused of intentionally running over multiple people and driving off is now being investigated in three other cases.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with details. Adam?
Amanda, authorities in Summit County have named On Pham as a suspect in a March hit-and-run in Park City that sent a woman to the hospital. And Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill has also released a statement to KSL TV saying that they are screening charges against Pham for another hit and run near 13th East and 9th South, as well as one on T Street and the Avenues that was caught on doorbell video that we first covered here for you on KSL News Radio. Pham has already been charged in four different hit and runs in the Salt Lake Valley dating back to August. He's currently being held without bail. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Fatal car crashes are up in construction zones nationwide, but a new study says Utah is number three in the country. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston joins us live with more. Peter?
Tim, the only two states with a higher proportion of fatal car crashes being in construction zones are Texas and Nebraska. That's according to a review of 10 years of crash data by LendingTree. 3.3% of fatal car crashes in Utah happen in these construction zones, and the study finds most of the people killed in these areas are drivers and passengers. In real numbers, this state saw just under 80 fatal car wrecks between 2012 and 2021 in work zones. LendingTree points to a few key safety tips from the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. First, always avoid texting and driving. Second, slow down when you see road workers. And third, keep an eye out for signs and instructions. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Four people are recovering in the hospital after a multi-vehicle crash involving a semi-truck on U.S. 6. The driver of the semi is in critical condition. The highway was blocked for several hours. This comes just one day after a six-year-old girl was killed on the highway.
Last year, Salt Lake City crews repaired more than 38,000 potholes across the city. I think I found them all. Repair is once again underway this year, and crews have begun patching up damaged roads. You can report any potholes you see to the city at KSLTV's website.
Hill Air Force Base will be blowing up more than 10,000 pounds of obsolete explosives on the west side of the Great Salt Lake. These planned detonations will take place each week later on through September. Most of these detonations won't have an impact on the valley, but nearby communities may be rattled by the sound.
A Pleasant Grove man facing multiple charges after police say he kidnapped his ex-girlfriend and then shot a man she was with. Police say he tricked her into meeting him in Lehigh before taking her back to Pleasant Grove. No injuries were reported. Court documents show the victim had filed a protective order against the man just a few days prior.
KSL's top national stories now. The IDF says the largest number of humanitarian aid trucks since the beginning of the war entered the Gaza Strip this week. Many are worried the pause in fighting in southern Gaza may be laying the groundwork for military action in Rafah. ABC's Britt Clenett has more from Israel.
Gaza's second largest city, now unrecognizable. After months of Israeli bombardment, residents returning to the destruction after the IDF withdrew all its combat units from Khan Yunis. Palestinians describing the trail of devastation left behind. Homes crushed and burned, overturned cars and trucks littering what used to be streets. This woman says her house is now a mountain of debris. Despite pulling ground forces from southern Gaza, the Israeli military saying this war is not over.
More than 400 trucks made their way into the area.
Family members of hostages held by Hamas got a private audience with the Pope this week. One of them, Ashley Waxman Bakshi, says the Pope was warm and welcoming and even used the word evil to describe the terrorist organization.
He is working in his own channels to help with releasing the hostages, and that he is committed to it. And he called Hamas evil, which they are.
That meeting taking place yesterday at the Vatican.
Chinese-Russian relations seem stronger than ever.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi hailing the bilateral relationship, saying their close ties are hard-won and deserve to be carefully maintained. His Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov's trip comes amid Moscow's grinding war in Ukraine and an ongoing effort to align their foreign policies against the U.S. and its allies. Wang says his country would support the convening of an international meeting recognized by both Russia and Ukraine in which all parties could participate equally. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A Utah man who lost his hands in an electrical accident visited Ukraine to help wounded soldiers adapt to their new prosthetics. Sam Matangi tells KSL-TV the invasion has taken a terrible toll.
There's been 20,000 brand new amputees since the start of the war.
Matangi says he was able to find some success stories only 5 days into his trip.
First look traffic on the 7 o'clock report, and here is Andy Farnsworth.
And so far, so good. If at least you're on I-15, had some heavy traffic in Midvale, but it's gone now on the freeway anyway. You are seeing some slow spots on the west side of the valley, including Mountain View and Bangor, trying to get through West Valley. So far, the drive through Davis and Weber County, slow spots maybe in the typical areas, but not even as bad as it gets some mornings. Same story down in Utah County, particularly Lehigh. Redwood Road, not too bad just yet. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Opening arguments for the trial of Chad Daybell will begin tomorrow. KSL-TV's Debbie Worthen has more now that the jury has been selected.
According to KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas, it's the day some jurors may actually decide how they really feel about Chad Daybell and the crimes he's charged with. Those 10 men and 8 women go to bed knowing that they will spend what's expected to be the next few months with a man's life in their hands.
Daybell is accused of murdering the 2 children of his wife, Lori Vallow Daybell, and his late wife, Tammy Daybell. KSL News Radio's Adam Small is in Boise preparing to cover the trial alongside KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas. Come back to Utah's Morning News tomorrow for the latest from Boise. You can also follow our complete trial coverage at KSLNewsRadio.com.
Airbnbs continue to rise in popularity, including here in Utah. KSL News Radio's Alessandra Gurr reports.
Airbnbs brought in over $1.2 billion in total GDP contribution to Utah last year, according to recently released data by the company. Airbnbs also supported nearly 16,000 jobs in the state and generated $360 million in total tax revenue due to tourists spending money on goods and services while visiting Utah. Overall, Airbnb had a nearly 20% increase in revenue from 2022 to 2023. Alessandra Gurr, KSL News Radio.
Many states, including Utah, are exploring the benefits of virtual power plants. If you haven't heard of them, KSL News Radio's Eric Cabrera is here to explain.
Residents and businesses who have solar panels installed can opt into Rocky Mountain Power's WattSmart battery program. The energy that's stored on those batteries can then be used to balance flows on their grid and draw power for their home or office in emergency situations. According to Jonna Whitesides with Rocky Mountain Power, there are roughly 4,000 batteries in Utah being fed by about 70,000 customers.
And then essentially what Rocky Mountain Power does is we utilize those batteries every day rather than ramping up generation on a thermal plant.
This is especially useful during peak hours and higher demand seasons like summer. And companies like Rocky Mountain Power look forward to new solutions. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.
A Utah alum and cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons is honoring a pair of teammates who passed away while he was still a student. KSL News Radio's Michael Kmit is live with more. Michael?
Amanda, Clark Phillips III started his NFL career with number 34 on his jersey, but now he changed it to 22 in honor of Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe. All three of them played with the Utes, but during the 2021 season, Lowe and Jordan both died within 9 months of each other. Both of them were best friends living out their dreams, and Lowe took on number 22 on his jersey after Jordan's death. Phillips III announced his jersey change yesterday, and on an announcement on X, included the hashtag 22forever to remember his late teammates. Reporting live, Michael Kmit, KSL News Radio.
And of course, not a coincidence that he decided to make that announcement this week because the Forever 22 spring game is happening Saturday up at Rice-Eccles. 7:09, let's see how the weather's going to shape up for the rest of the week along with your traffic. Brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents a gallon. Andy?
And right now, if you're in Salt Lake County, I-15 traffic has sped back up through the Midvale-Murray stretch for now. But it's still backed up for traffic on Mountain View Corridor starting at the 4100 South intersection. In Tooele County, SR36, pretty heavy now both directions between the south end of Stansbury Park, Bates Canyon Road, and all the way up to SR 138. It's pretty busy in both directions. Heather?
We're starting to see quite a bit of congestion now in school zones, especially around Clearfield High School and also Northridge High School in Layton. You don't have any delays, though, on the major freeways in Weber and Davis counties. Everybody's still running at speed on I-15 and I-84 through the mountains to and from Morgan. Eric.
Northbound on the 215 eastbound, looking good from 6200 south up past Mount Olympus to the mouth of the canyon. And going into Parley's Canyon, I-80 is in solid shape going out to Park City. So far, we don't have any major delays getting into the city itself. If you're down Utah County, I-15. That's rolling along just fine. When you choose Performance Automotive and Bountiful, you're choosing selection. Four locations, Performance Ford Lincoln, Performance Honda, Performance Toyota, and Truck Country. See it all at PerformanceBountiful.com. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL hourly forecast. We're still in the process of trying to change over this cold air mass. So we do start on the chilly side, 7 a.m., temperatures in the mid to low 30s, mostly sunny skies. We keep those mostly sunny skies into the lunch hour, temperatures in the low 50s, light winds out of the northwest. We'll then work into the afternoon, topping out at 58 degrees and mostly sunny. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Matt Johnson.
36 degrees in Salt Lake City.
Are students using AI to cheat or to learn? Maybe both. We'll learn more in a moment on KSL.
The Garfield County Sheriff's Department says damage has been reported along the Panguitch Lake Dam. The structure has traverse cracking on the upper portion, but the conditions are being monitored. For the time being, Highway 143 will remain open above Panguitch Lake and no evacuations are necessary.
Post-ecliptic traffic. I don't think I've ever said the word ecliptic before.
Me either.
Millions of people gathered in outdoor spaces across North America yesterday to catch a glimpse of the 2024 total solar eclipse. ABC's Andrew Dimbert says now they're all heading back.
From New Hampshire to Pennsylvania, Arkansas, and Texas, eclipse chasers crowding highways after Monday's cosmic spectacle. A total solar eclipse sweeping across 15 states, bringing excitement and elation.
It's amazing, amazingly beautiful, once in a lifetime, beautiful.
Millions in the path of totality watching the sun's corona emerging from the edges of the moon.
The eclipse didn't bring too many people to Utah, if any, since we're not in the path of totality.
Did you know that they occur on average every 2 years?
I did not.
And that there's another one coming this year. We talk about 20 years away, but that just means we're not going to be in the path of totality here in the U.S. for 20 years.
Ah, that's interesting.
But every 2 years.
Somewhere in the world.
So just like a storm chaser, you could be an eclipse chaser,
I bet,
I guess.
There are people who do that.
You won't have to worry term path of totality again for a few more years.
For months, Betsy Moorhead and her sisters were ordering eclipse-themed merchandise to sell to the thousands who came to Hillsboro, Texas for its 4 minutes and 23 seconds of totality.
I think I'll be excited to get a little bit more sleep.
At the same time, she admits,
I'm going to be sad. I mean, it's just been kind of one of those exciting things that you lead up to, and it's been really fun to witness this happen in our little town here.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
A man from Provo had the idea to collect used eclipse glasses, and his effort went viral. Roger Sarkis tells KSL-TV his side business got thousands of emails on Eclipse Day alone.
MasterCard, the Department of Veterans Affairs, multiple universities, hospitals. In fact, today I reached out to the Hawaii Department of Education.
Sarkis is planning on sending the used glasses to underserved communities and schools in Hawaii and Latin America for the next solar eclipse in October.
Trending this hour on the 7 o'clock report, the next eclipse. Looks like hundreds of thousands of us are interested in finding out when that next one will happen in the U.S., so you can start planning now and avoid the FOMO.
Country music sensation Morgan Wallen is trending, but probably not for a reason he likes.
Last night we let the liquor talk.
He was arrested in Nashville yesterday, accused of throwing a chair off the rooftop of a Music City bar. Wow.
Six stories. And it's officially the end of Ramadan, beginning either today or tomorrow, depending on when Muslims first catch a glimpse of the crescent moon. Eid al-Fitr is the three-day holiday that marks the end of Ramadan. I hope I said that right. Islam's holiest month, marked by prayer and fasting. Eid involves breaking the fast and celebrating with large meals and family and friends. KSL News Time now, 7:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Utah is one of many states exploring the possibilities of virtual power plants. I'm KSL News Radio's Eric Cabrera.
Second, the FBI has arrested an 18-year-old Idaho man after investigators say he pledged allegiance to ISIS and was going to carry out attacks on local churches.
3rd, a look at the drive with traffic and weather together.
Traffic on I-15 is rolling through the valley in both directions. I-15 is pretty good coming out of Ogden as well. Right now, drive times are still at or pretty close to a minimum in both directions. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Mostly sunny and a solid 7 degrees warmer than yesterday. I'm Matt Johnson.
Right now, 36 degrees at the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios.
And time for a look at our top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. An 18-year-old in Ohio under arrest, accused of plotting to copy the ISIS attack on a Russian concert hall last month. The FBI says Alexander Mercurio had planned to use knives and weapons belonging to his father to kill parishioners at churches. Found in his home, set fires with butane canisters, handcuffs, a knife, and a machete.
Mercurio's arrest comes at a state of heightened alert by U.S. law enforcement. Authorities have been concerned about rage ignited by the Israeli-Hamas war, and late last week they sent out an urgent bulletin warning that ISIS was trying to use their horrific attack on that Moscow concert to inspire radicals here to conduct U.S. attacks.
That's ABC Chief Law and Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas. Norfolk Southern Railroad has agreed to pay $600 million in a class action lawsuit. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
When 38 cars of a Norfolk Southern freight train hauling hazardous materials derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, a massive cloud of black smoke billowed into the sky. Pollutants flowed into creeks. Assuming a court agrees, people living within 20 miles of last year's derailment will share in a $600 million settlement.
A judge in New York denying a last-minute request for a delay and giving the go-ahead for Donald Trump's hush money trial to begin on Monday. ABC Chief Legal Analyst Dan Abrams outlining the questions potential jurors may face.
But it's not just the big picture ones, like have you been to a Trump rally? It's what media do you watch? Where do you get your information? They're going to be little subtle questions that are going to be able to tell these lawyers a lot about these prospective jurors.
Reaction is continuing to come in to Donald Trump's announcement that the question of abortion should be left up to the states.
Many on the right outraged that Trump declined to endorse a national abortion ban. His former Vice President Mike Pence calling his announcement a slap in the face to millions of pro-life Americans who voted for Trump. And close ally Senator Lindsey Graham saying he respectfully disagrees.
This is ABC News.
All right, let's go in depth here. There's concern that students would use artificial intelligence programs like ChatGPT to cheat in their schoolwork. But are students more likely to cheat, or are they using AI to help them learn?
ABC's Becky Worley reports.
These high schoolers from Hedroy School in Oakland, California, say maybe both.
So you use ChatGPT almost as a tutor?
More or less, not to ask it for an answer, which I think that's the problem, but rather to explain a concept, to understand the why as opposed to just the answer itself.
Or if they get stuck on a computer science or math problem.
I feel like when you're stuck and you've like tried all these things, it's valid to ask ChatGPT, and naturally once you ask it, you're gonna understand like why it was, the answer is the way it is.
But some say kids turn to AI when they're desperate.
I also think like a lot of ChatGPT use comes from like students being overwhelmed with schoolwork.
Dr. Denise Pope of Stanford University has been surveying students about cheating for more than a decade.
So the fear was that ChatGPT was going to unleash a flood of cheating behavior in students.
But she says her data is not showing that increase, but adds that parents should still talk to kids about the technology.
You want to make sure your student knows what the rules of the school are.
So I got a written assignment handed in one of my classes yesterday that I put through the AI detector, came back 100%.
Oh, wow.
So that student got zero on that because the entire thing was.
You laid down that law early, though, didn't you?
Oh, they know.
With your classes, yeah.
You can't just copy. You can't just put the question I've given you into ChatGPT or whichever AI and then give me the response that AI gives you.
And expect you to get away with it.
And there are giveaways. You know, like most children that age do not use the word nonetheless.
How old was this
person? Or heretofore. It's college, but you know, most 19-year-olds don't say nonetheless.
Yeah.
So you see words like that in there, and I'm like, I think that's going to go through the AI detector.
You don't want to mess with Professor Amanda, I'm telling you that. Pope says one metric students can use is asking if they're genuinely seeking help or just pushing a button to do the work
for
them. Yeah,
there's a difference there for sure.
Becoming more and more of a challenge, sounds like. That is the in-depth this morning at 15 and 45.
719, traffic and weather together, brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. And back over to you, Andy.
Amanda, traffic is really backed up on the west side Mountain View corridor. That's going to be your longest stretch of slowdowns from 4100 up to the 3500 south intersection. Some people are getting backed up around 47th south and Bangor. I-15, it's great until you hit Murray, and then you dip a little bit below the speed limit in the right lanes coming up on 5300 south. No delays on I-80 out of Tooele County. Heather?
We've got our first slowdowns of the morning on southbound I-15. That's coming out of Ogden, heading toward Roy. That's usually due to construction. They're putting the barrels out with lane restrictions in the area. You also still have a lot of congestion on the city streets in Clearfield, Ogden, also over in Layton on Hillfield Road, right near Northridge High School. And then traffic still continues to flow pretty well on Legacy Parkway and the West Side Belt if you use those to get to the airport. Eric?
It's getting a little bit busier. Mountain View Corridor in Utah County, heading north from SR-73 up to Redwood Road, and then further down the line if you continue on 2100 north for eastbounders right at the freeway, you're going to see it bunch up a little bit there too. And same's true for folks coming out of Highland Cedar Hills, SR-92. That's getting a little bit busy at the moment near the mountains. I-15, Utah County, no problems. Beat the spring cleaning rush and call Zero Res. Get three rooms plus a hallway Zero Resified for $99. Visit ZeroRes.com and book your appointment today. Zero Res. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL 7A forecast, 58 today, mostly sunny skies. High pressure continues to nudge in from the California coast on Wednesday. 63 sunny skies, 10 above the normal by Thursday, 71 up to 77 degrees, partly cloudy skies on Friday. We dial it back just a touch on Saturday, 74, mix of sun and clouds, partly cloudy on Sunday, 69. We're down to 62, mostly cloudy, no complaints there by Monday. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Matt Johnson.
That sun is about to present itself here any minute over the Wasatch, 36 degrees downtown. The 7-day forecast brought to you by Performance Automotive Bountiful.
Tim and I are watching on the monitors right now the parents of Ethan Crumbly, who was one of the school shooters.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who did not pick up their son from school when the school asked them to come and get him. The father bought the son a gun. The kid had asked for, you know, mental health help, and they had not got it from. So these two parents are in court right now for sentencing. It'll be really interesting to see what kind of a sentence these two parents get. Both found guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah, because this is going to set a precedence in any of these school shootings down the line.
Yeah.
On what the parents knew, what they did to prevent it, what they reported, what they let go.
And you know, if just this being in the news causes any parents who have guns in the house to be more careful, to be more vigilant, then bravo.
I think they're asking for something like 3 to 5 years for each of them. Somewhere in that range, but the sentencing is taking place as we speak. We'll keep an eye on that for you this morning, just like we will your markets. We're about 7 minutes away from the opening bell, so stay with us.